today on Real Radio.
Does God need our blessings? No. But you want to bless God? Speak kind to one another. I'm sure that blesses God.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, with a message called Power Walk with Jesus, Part 2. You know, the Apostle Peter was a disciple of Christ, of course, and he later on became the leader of the first church. Now, in Peter's time, Christians were mocked and ridiculed and often tortured for their faith. But Peter, he taught them how to live a victorious life, even in the midst of pain and discouragement. Now, as we head into part 2 of chapter 3, we'll find Peter challenging every Christ follower to go in the same direction, with the same purpose, and for the same reason. Walking with the Lord, with passion, and with compassion for others, it's possible through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's His power that unites us and lives inside of us and shows us the way. So today on day 2 of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that the Lord is near to those who are brokenhearted. In this world, there will be trouble, pain, and sickness. But when we continue in the power of the Holy Spirit, we will have the victory in the end. And now in his message called Power Walk with Jesus, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
James says that we use a little rudder to steer a great ship in the sea. He says we take a huge horse and we put a little bridle and a bit in its mouth. And you can lead that horse anywhere you want to go. That's the idea anyway. You're supposed to be able to lead the horse around like that. But he says the tongue, listen, he says the tongue, it is an unruly evil. It's placed right in the midst of you. Look at here. Look where your tongue is. It's right there. Just right in the center of your face. Right in the between the eyes, down below the nose, the ears. It's right there. Everyone's got to deal with your mouth. Everybody. And he said, you know what? The mouth, it can set on fire the course of hell. Is that not true? I can pull out my tongue. Listen, you and I could have a knockdown, drag-out fist fight, and you completely knock me out and leave me ruined. I could stand up and pull out my tongue and say something in such a way that winds up affecting you for the rest of your life. Look, if you knock me out, I'll heal. But if I say something to you, you're going to live the next 40 years with that meanness echoing in your heart or in your mind. Are you with me? The things we say matter. Amen. And it breaks our heart, right? Breaks our heart when we see parents turn to their little kid and say things, "You're such an idiot, stop it." Does the parent believe his kid's an idiot? I don't think so. But what did he do? In a moment of overheated zealousness, passion, anger, frustration, wham! Guess what those little babies do? They remember everything. They're designed to remember everything. And the same is true for the body of Christ. We need to, listen, we need to speak with a voice that blesses God. And I'm sure, look, does God need our blessings? No. But you want to bless God? Speak kind to one another. I'm sure that blesses God. Think of it. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. Notice where it comes from. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's true. That's why, listen, more Bible, always in the Bible, put the word of God in your heart. It makes all the difference in the world. And so this guy, this one guy, just saying all these words, just polluting the area. Who's the guy in Peanuts cartoon that walks around with a stinky blanket and his, or no, not his blanket. Somebody walks around in the pig pen. Of course it's pig pen. And you see the fumes rising from him. You ever seen those Charlie Brown cartoons? That little guy's walking around and there's this this fumes emanating from him because he stinks so bad and so dirty. There's people like that. They walk into rooms. Oh, man. Why? Because their heart opens up and their mouth delivers what's inside of there. And Peter's saying, that's got to stop. That has to end. And then the word evil. The word evil here means wrongdoers. Wow. It means those who plan evil. It's not just that you sin or you make a mistake or something like this. It's planners of evil. Active. The word means active participants towards sin. This is a strong statement. So refrain his tongue from actively planning. It's not only that you're talking about it, you're actually saying, hey, and you say, let's do this blank, 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 blank thing tomorrow night. Premeditated. No, listen, you can't honor Jesus that way. It's very important. It's ultimately important. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. In other words, that word means don't go out and sin and be worldly and then say, well, God will forgive me. But through love, serve one another. This is the key. Can I just pause right there for a second? The more we have the word in us, the more loving we're going to be of one another, the more spoiled we're all going to be with each other. This is a good thing, people. That's a good thing. Keep reading the verse. Verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you can be consumed by one another. Isn't that a gross picture? No. You see two people, Christians, chewing each other, name-calling, derogatory, attacking, and the word here teaches us that they just grind each other down like beavers eating a tree, you know? It's just, there's nothing left. Wow. And then here's a killer. Are you ready for this one? This next verse, before we put it on the screens, I would have loved to have gotten onto the computer there at Dodger Stadium and put this up on the Jumbotron. Ephesians 4:29, check this out. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Leave it on the screen for a second. Edification. You know, this is a construction term, this word. Edifice. The thing you see. You and I, as believers, are supposed to speak to one another in a way that it helps build your edifice. This doesn't mean that we speak falsehood. It means that you and I get to know each other enough to start saying things to each other, something like this, because you guys are so fun. I was going to say it's a really great environment in a small group where you can speak to one another, and it is. But I'm looking around. You guys are a small group, if you believe it or not, because you all sit in the same spot every week. So I'm curious if you know the people that are around you, right? So what would we do if we know the people around us? We would do this. You'd speak kindly to each other, but also this. You would impart grace to the hearer. And so I don't know them. How can I say anything about them? Simply this. Hey, I recognize you sit here every week. That's great. What's your name? That's how it starts. Get to know them. Just ask them. Are we as a culture afraid of getting to know people? If so, why is that? Well, if I get to know somebody, then I got to do something. But what if someday you might need something done for you? Well, you know, I don't have time. Time, you don't have time for what? That you might meet a friend out of this greeting that could be a lifelong benefit for the rest of your life. Might I remind you, we're all going to heaven. What's going to happen then? Can you imagine? I don't know how it's going to be up there. It's going to be bright. The Bible says it's going to be loud. Did you know that? It's going to be loud. The music's too loud here. Then in heaven, you have to sit in the back. The Bible says it's loud up there. But what are you going to do? Think of it. Well, I'll wait till heaven to get to know them. We're supposed to know each other now. Why? For just this one reason, to speak things to each other that encourage one another. Do you know, listen, in our culture, all you have to do is smile anymore at somebody to encourage them. Just smile at them. Greet them. Were you greeted by the greeters when you came in?
Yes.
Isn't that great? They're welcoming you. Hi, how are you? Come on in. Why do we even have greeters? Because it's important how you're greeted. How you're greeted. Think of it. It's important. And the Bible says we ought to start talking to each other. The third thing is this, and it's hope. We're all together regarding the same hope. So living for the same purpose means this, verses 10 through 12. It's for the same reasons, for the same honor, and it's for the same hope. And listen to what he says to this. He says in look at verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Now cheer up. Are you trusting Christ as your Lord and Savior? Yes, then you've been declared righteous. Okay, this is not something that you have earned. This is his doing. So God's eyes are on you if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And look, it says that his ears are open to your prayers. What an encouragement that is. And here's the shock. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So first things first, as believers, as a church family, Peter tells us, we're going in the same direction. And because that's true, we have the same logos. That's happening because we're all in the same word. That means we're all on the same page, the Bible. That drives our passion. This is the propellant. Our lifestyles now are different because we're Christians, we're following Jesus, we're going where he is. That's the direction. And then he announces to us that if that's true, there's a purpose. The direction we're going is because we have a purpose. And that purpose is fundamental because it's all based upon a reason. We've got a reason why we do the things that we do. We've got God's word in us and it resonates that this is the truth of God. And I have determined, I love what Sean said a moment ago, that he yielded himself to the Lord and said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he sensed the Lord telling him, get involved in politics. Now, maybe God told you, get involved in, and you fill in the blank, whatever it is. I love that. The reason, and then there's the honor that we live for God. We give glory to God by how we live, and then now this hope. And so I want you to do what Peter did. Mark it down. We're ending this particular study. These last few verses are from Psalm 34. In fact, let me read this to you. Psalm 34 says this, verse 11. Psalm 34, 11. Come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. That's good news. The awe of God, the reverence of God, the way of God. Verse 12, who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Well, here's the answer. Psalm 34, 13, keep your tongue from evil. Put a gate, put a cage. Holy Spirit, help me with my tongue and your lips from speaking deceit. Verse 14, depart from evil and do good. The word is flee, run from it. Don't get near it. Hey, maybe I should stop right here. In your life right now, maybe this is from God. It's not in my notes, maybe this is for you. If right now in your heart, you're thinking thoughts like, oh, maybe I'll drive by your house. Maybe I'll respond back to that greeting at Facebook. You know what I'm saying? Little thing. Flee. Run. He's saying, watch out. Evil. Run away from it. He says there in verse 14, Psalm 34, he says, seek peace and pursue it. Verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. And so listen, Psalm 34, mark it down. Worry. You ever worry? You ever anxious? You ever have fears? Psalm 34, verse 4 says this, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my, what? Fears. Did you know that the American is the number one culture on earth? More Americans are hooked on anti-anxiety pills than all other nations. Why? Can you imagine? I mean, why? Why? We have a great military protecting us. We have the poorest among us have money. You're not going to starve to death. You'll not, no matter how poor you are, you're not going to go naked. What's going on? We've got stuff that maybe that's the problem. I lay awake at night and worry about my stuff. Think about how strange it is. Could it be that all that you and I have, we wind up trusting in it instead of God? I don't know. Well, here's the answer to that anxiety. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Bible's true or it's not true? It is true. Well, Pastor, I don't know if that's going to work for me. Well, why not? You need to believe God. Well, I know the Bible says this, but no, I want to encourage you today. If any of these verses that I'm going to be giving you in a moment minister to you or you think you can use it, then grab it and make it your own. Stand on it. Number two, how about this? Hopelessness, depression, sadness. Psalm 34, verse 6. This poor man cried out and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. What a great verse. What a great verse. Again, you're a victim of the Friday night World Series game. There was this great moment and the crowd's going nuts and everyone's cheering. And you know how these cameramen, if you're watching a game, they'll zoom in on people and, you know, people are, they're laughing, they're you know, whatever they're doing. Sometimes people kiss each other when the camera's shining on their face or whatever, and they move to the next. One guy holds up his little baby with a Dodger jersey on, and then the cameraman, I don't know what the trip was, I don't know what the director was thinking or what, but the camera went over, and maybe you saw it if you're watching on TV. The camera goes right over. This was a young man. His head was straight down. And all of his friends around him, left and right, started cheering and jumping up and down. And he gets nudged by one of his buddies. And he looks up. And he had black rings under his eyes. Young man. Very young man. Black rings under his eyes. He looked so sad and depressed. And he held up. He didn't give the one-way sign. He gave another sign like this. And he looked right at the camera. And he looked hopeless. You know something's wrong. He looked like he was dead, but he was still alive. And I saw that, and in my mind, right there on the screens, on the big screens over the field, I just said to myself, Lord, help that guy. That guy needs help. Are you hopeless? Do you think it's over for you? Are you depressed? What about brokenhearted? Are you brokenhearted? Has your heart been torn out? Did somebody tear your heart out? Is your heart broken or disappointed? Psalm 34:18. What a great psalm. Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Is your heart broken? Only Jesus can mend your heart. Amen. Will you trust him? He loves you. Yeah, but you know what? I staked my future on this young man or this young woman, and I thought that we were going to, and it's a broken, wait a minute, maybe what if God was saving you from a catastrophe of a marriage? Please be careful that your emotions, though they are real, are rarely true. Don't let your emotions dictate reality. God loves you, and maybe he rescued you. Look to his word. His promise is true. He's near to you with who have a broken heart. And then what about afflictions, sickness and pain? Sickness, diseases, hurt, broken bones and diseased bodies and injuries, whatever it might be. The Bible says in Psalm 34, 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. I want you to think of that. Look at that. Please listen to this, everybody. But the Lord delivers them out of them all. You say, well, Pastor, I have two problems with that. Number one, many are the afflictions of the righteous. I thought God loved me. He does love you. But you live in a messed up world. Aren't you comforted when he says in advance, many are the afflictions of the righteous? The righteous get sick too. The righteous get attacked too. The righteous hurt also. So yeah, but if I'm righteous, why do I have to be sick? Because you live in a sick world. Well, I don't understand that. If I believe in God, then I should not have a bump in the road. Where'd you get that from? I read in the book, not the Bible. I'm comforted that God tells me in advance it's going to get messed up at times. And then, Pastor, the second thing is, it says that the Lord delivers him out of them all. Well, what if I die from the sickness? The Lord delivers you out of them all. You're a Christian. He'll either heal you, or in time, he'll heal you. There's a day coming when all of us are going to get healed. Hopefully today with the trumpet blast would be nice. But the Bible here tells us that the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. That's there to give you boldness. His ears are open to their prayers. That ought to encourage you, right? The Bible tells us in Psalm 28:1, the godly are as bold as lions. Isn't that awesome? The godly can be as bold as lions. And so we end with this. What you and I say out of our hearts, to our mouth, through our mouths, it matters to people. My prayer for all of us is that as we leave, you think about every week we leave this place. And I pray, I always pray, Lord, don't let the study be academic. Don't let it be any other thing other than true and power. So when you go out, you have the opportunity, as we go back to our homes and to the communities that we live in, to act out our Christianity. You've got God the Holy Spirit in you. You've got the Word of God in you. You're going to heaven. Go out and just let it out a little bit and watch what happens. But dedicate your mouth today to being a blessing. The Bible tells you that you're going to inherit a blessing because God always rewards faithfulness. Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Power Walk with Jesus, Part 2. We're so glad you joined us today. Let the Lord's Spirit bring out the best in you. He's never going to let you down. Power Walk with Jesus, Part 2. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others really does inspire us still today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Today, more and more Christ followers are living out their faith no matter where they're at. They refuse to let the isolation of COVID-19 discontinue them from Jesus or His church. And one way that's possible is through our website at jackhibbs.com. Now, once you're there, you'll find access to Pastor Jack's devotions, YouTube channel, podcasts, Facebook, live-streamed events, and so much more. Peter gathered the first century saints together through his letters, but now we have the advantage to stay connected through social media. Again, our website is jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And don't forget to download the Real Life mobile app for your smartphone or tablet for on-the-go access to all that Pastor Jack has to offer. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.